We are very pleased to have Martin Hodson speak to us this morning. Before he does, Hannah is going to lead us in the first part of our Bible reading, Luke 24, 13 to 32.
The walk to Emmaus. That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them, but God kept them from recognizing him.
During this lockdown, one of the real gifts has been taking a walk each day as a family.
We've had lots of really good father-son chats about your 33rd wedding anniversary last week and my first coming up this summer.
Yeah, and we've talked about the cultural differences between America, where you've been living, and life here in Scotland.
We've spent a lot of time digesting our daily Bible readings, talking about what we've each been studying.
And we've spent plenty of time talking about the news and pulling it apart in detail every day. I think conversation works really well when you're walking along together. There's somehow a bit more space and time for thinking and speaking together.
And today's Bible reading is about two followers of Jesus who are walking along together the day after Jesus has risen from the dead.
They were going from Jerusalem to a town called Emmaus, about 7 miles away. And it says they were talking about everything that had been going on. Maybe they were unburdening themselves to one another about the events of the week gone by that had included Jesus coming triumphantly into Jerusalem and then his arrest, his sentence, his death on a cross, and his burial in the tomb.
And so then what happens?
Well, as they're walking along, Jesus comes to join them. You might think that would have been quite a dramatic moment, but it says that they didn't recognize him.
Why do you think they didn't recognize him?
Well, perhaps because his resurrection body was somehow different to the body that they'd known beforehand. Perhaps simply because they weren't expecting that, or maybe for some other reason. I don't know. But what will happen during this story is that they will gradually become aware that Jesus is present with them. And I guess that is a main lesson or discovery for us from this passage. The knowledge that Jesus is always with us, even when we don't recognize his presence immediately.
Okay, so how do we do stuff about that?
Well, Jesus promised, "I will be with you always, even to the end of the age." Now, these people walking on the road to Emmaus haven't heard that yet, but we certainly have, as have Jesus' other disciples. So one of the core practices of being a Christian believer is learning to recognize or to be attentive to the presence of Jesus with us. So we might do that by, for example, gathering on a Sunday, as we are doing now, and saying we'll take time to remember that Jesus is here. Or we might do that in our daily prayer time, stopping purposely to say, "Jesus, I recognize that you are with me now. I want to speak to you and listen to you." As we become more mature as Christians, we learn a kind of Holy Spirit-given instinct to be aware of Jesus' presence, especially when we're under pressure or when there's a difficult situation or a big challenge before us. And when we realize that Jesus, by his Spirit, is present with us, we start to think differently and feel differently and speak differently and act differently. Now, quite a lot of people I know would say they find it helpful daily to practice mindfulness or meditation. And that is, I guess, mainly about becoming present to yourself and your environment. What's distinctive about Christian spirituality is that we put a priority on recognizing not just that I am present, but that Jesus is present, that he is with me here and now. And that's the truth that works for every day of our lives. It really is true that we'll never walk alone.
So So you're saying that Jesus is present with us, not in his resurrection body form, but in other kinds of form around us, and that we can develop an attentiveness to that.
Exactly. And let's read on in the passage now and find out how the followers of Jesus discover that he is present with them.
He asked them, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there the last few days." "What things?" Jesus asked. "The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth," they said. "He was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago." Then some women from a group of his followers were at his tomb early this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing, and they had seen angels who told them Jesus is alive. Some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the women had said. Then Jesus said to them, "You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory?" Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself.
Jesus breaks into the conversation that these two walkers are having. He says to them, "What have you been talking about?" They're surprised because there only seems to be one thing that anyone around Jerusalem is talking about. "Do you not know?" they say. He says, "Tell me the things that have been happening." It's interesting that Jesus takes the position of the listener. He knows better than them the things that have been happening, but he gives them space to tell him. He wants his disciples to speak to him about the things that are important in their lives, in our lives. And so they start to tell him how they had followed a Messiah, they believed, who had been powerful in word and deed. He'd done great miracles. His teaching had been authoritative. But then he'd been sentenced and crucified, and all their hopes had been dashed. That was on Friday. Now on Sunday morning, some women from their group of followers of Jesus had been to the tomb, and they'd found his body wasn't there, and they'd had a vision of angels who told them that he was risen from the dead. Later on, some others from their group had also found the tomb to be empty. They seemed puzzled at all this. Jesus gives them time to say everything they need to say. He waits patiently, and then he comes into the conversation. And he says, "Don't you realize this is what was promised in the prophets and in Moses?" "You're right, so far." In Deuteronomy, God said to Moses he would raise up a greater prophet. And this Jesus is that greater prophet. God had said to King David that he would have a greater son who would be an anointed king who would reign forever. And you're right, Jesus is that anointed king. But what you've missed out from the scriptures is Isaiah 53, where it says that God's servant will suffer. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The punishment that brings us peace was laid on him. This is the Messiah who suffers. It says so in the scripture. It was always going to be. And that same chapter in Isaiah goes on to say, but after his suffering, he will see the light of life. Life will be his again. And that's what's happening today. As those disciples listen, the penny must have begun to drop. It begins to make sense. They realize that what has happened is not a disaster, but God at work in an unexpected way. It seems to me this is a kind of model of prayer for us. Jesus listens. He wants us to speak to him, to say what's on our mind, to tell him what's been happening. And then, when we've spoken, And speaking to Jesus sometimes is speaking words aloud, like I'm doing now. Or sometimes it's speaking words inside us, because Jesus is present around us and within us. He hears our words and our inner thoughts. So we speak to him, and then we let him speak to us. Our normal way of doing that is to turn to the scriptures, as Jesus does here with these disciples, to read the scriptures and to let God's word speak to us, to give us his perspective, his word into our lives.
By this time they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey. Jesus acted as if he were going on, but they begged him, "Stay the night with us since it's getting late." So he went home with them. As they sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and at that moment he disappeared. They said to each other, "Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?"
One of the amazing things about Jesus is that he never forces himself on us. As these two walkers arrive at the village of Emmaus, Jesus acts as if he's going on further. And it's only when they invite him in fact, it says they strongly invite him in, that he agrees to stay in the house and eat with them. The Jesus we meet in the Gospels is one who comes as a guest. When God comes into this world in his son Jesus, what we call the incarnation, he comes as a guest. He is born in a borrowed stable or a guest room. When he is at a meal, he's there as the guest of the tax collectors and the sinners. When he holds the Last Supper with his disciples, it's in a borrowed room. Even when he's been crucified, his body is placed in a borrowed grave. He's the guest of another owner. And now, here on the road as it winds into Emmaus, Jesus stays with these two disciples as their guest. Jesus enters in when we invite him. And in fact, it's only as these two disciples have invited Jesus in, they've, I think, begun to realize there's something special about this man, that he breaks bread at the table. And there they recognize it really is Jesus who's been walking along with them. Whether there's something about the way he breaks the bread, whether as he lifts the bread his sleeves fall back and they see his nail-pierced hands, or whether in some other way it is revealed to them, they now know this is Jesus. Today, the word for us, for you, is, will you welcome Jesus in your life? Is he welcome? Maybe you've got a sense that there's something very special, very important about him. The next thing is to welcome him into your life. To say, I need you. I need the power of God, the saving power of God that will surround me with God's love, that will forgive my wrongs, that will give me a power and strength to live the way I was made to live, that will renew me and bring me into the life of God's everlasting kingdom. It comes through inviting Jesus in. Will you do that today? Perhaps you've been thinking about that for some time. Perhaps COVID-19 and all the crisis around this has made you think again about what's truly important in life, where your security is, where your meaning comes from, where your experience of being truly, ultimately, and eternally loved comes from. Jesus Christ says to you in some words from the Bible, look, I am standing at the door and knocking. If you hear my voice, then open the door, welcome me in, and I'll come and eat with you. I'll come and be with you. I will be at the centre of your life if you invite me. I wonder if you are ready to make that invitation or to renew that invitation because you've been keeping Jesus at a distance. Well, join me, if you will, in your own heart, praying this prayer now as we close. Lord Jesus Christ, I know that you are near me, that you are walking with me, and yet I need to invite you in. I realise that I've kept you out, and that's been the wrong thing to do. That's been my failure. But today, I welcome you in. I invite you to be the one at the centre of my life, who tells me and teaches me that I am loved by my Father in heaven, who forgives me for the wrongs that I have done because you were sentenced and crucified for my iniquities. I invite you to be the one who fills me and accompanies me day by day, the one I will follow and call my Lord and Master. Come into my life today, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Jesus initiates conversations with us. Martin has encouraged us, like the two travellers, to reach out to Jesus and to make him welcome in our lives. If you have prayed the prayer Martin has made, and if you want to talk further about what has been said, please get in touch with our community pastor, Gordy, who will be only too willing to make himself available to you. Thanks for joining us today. God be with you.